An ambush. He lowers himself. He makes himself as a nobody. Rashi here uses three very interesting words. He is shemedakeh, umashpil, umaktin. Every word of Rashi is kodesh kodoshim. Rashi over here uses three words to tell us what this person here is doing. I guess he also, well, the second word is yoshoyach. I'm assuming refers to. Is yashpil, mashpil, and the word umaktin, I don't know where he's getting that word from, but over here this person, he makes believe that he is a nobody, he is deceiving, he is cunning, he lowers himself, he makes believe that he's just a homeless person lying in the street, but really in truth, he's working for the CIA, he's really there as a spy, he's lurking in the background and waiting to ambush, that he should not be noticeable. And then the next page, on page 90, v'nafal ba'atzumav chel ko'im. So again, we're not going to spend the whole day on this again. This word chel ko'im is either one word or it's two words. If it's one word, then it means the weak, the feeble. Chel ko'im is a unique word which we learned according to the Ibn Ezra has four letters in its root. Extremely unusual. Extremely, every word, 99% of the words have the root, the shurish has only three letters. And then there is a discussion if you could have a shurish of two letters. But a shurish of four letters is very, very rare. And according to the Ibn Ezra, this is a unique word, has four letters in its root. And here is the word, it is cheslamit chof aleph. And this word here is the same word that we had back in Pasuk Ches, and there it was spelled with a hey. And according to the Ibn Ezra, that's okay. You can break the rules once in a while, and you can break the rules between an aleph and a hey. And if you want to learn that it refers to, it's one word of four letters, the word here means a weak person, a weak individual. And the different variations of the more precision, but the general abstract concept of this word captures the concept of weakness. A unique word, ches lamed chof aleph. On the other hand, if you want, you can learn that it's not two words. It's not one word. It's not one word of four letters. Rather, it's two words.
Written is two words.
Okay, so that's all a big question. What is the correct mesorah? In our edition that we're using here in the Yangizl of Midwood, we're using the art school edition of Tehillim, and they've taken whatever source they've taken this from, and then whatever they've taken this from, the tradition is it's written as one word, but it is pronounced as two words.
Yes,
it's very kriv-ksif, but it's very obvious. But it's very obvious looking through the Mefarshim that not everyone had that tradition. A lot of things, a lot of these type of things in Nach, in Nevi'im and Ksuvim is not so clear. It's not like Chumash. Chumash, we have a Mesorah that's ironclad. There's no room to budge. There's Kriv Chsivs, and we have. There's nothing to discuss. This obviously we read through Rashi. Rashi tells the one there's the Mesorah Gedoyla tells us there are 15 such words in Tanakh. That the ksiv is one word, but the kri, the way we pronounce it, is as two words. Okay, so you're right, but it's very clear. Reading the page, there are different interpretations. We'll look at the Mincha Shai in a few moments. But let's just review the basics, and we have to move on. So here we have this one word. So according to Rashi on page 90. Now there's another very big debate here in Rashi. What is the precise translation of the word ba'atzumav? Notice there's a patach. Okay, ba'atzumav, the patach changes a lot of the meaning of the word. There's a difference between bi'atzumav and ba'atzumav. It's always a very, Balakriya, Ramayevsky will tell you that Balakriya have to be very, very careful when they lane. There are many words that are very tricky. Sometimes it's a shva, it's bi, or there are many different types of words like that, and sometimes it's a patach, and the same exact word can be found in different places in the same parsha that sometimes have a shva, and sometimes have a patach, and there's a change in the meaning. There's a change in the meaning, and if you don't, it all depends on the context. There can be a change in the meaning, and if you don't do it correctly, then you're not doing your listeners justice, who have come out of their cold, out into the call to shul to be yoytze the mitzvah of kriyas haTorah. So here it says ba'atzumav. The word ba'atzumav is a suspicious word.
What?
When there's a chata patach, it becomes what again? Yeah.
So the shva before that changes into
a patach. A chata patach. Okay, you tell me very complicated Guzu grammar over my head. Okay. Okay, I believe you 100%.
We have. It'll
be a be. It'll be a be. Okay, right. Okay, these are all the rules of grammar. But here it says ba'atzma. And this is a very unusual word. And that's why Rashi has two perushim as to what this word means. So Rashi says chel, first of ba'atzma of chel koin. So Rashi is going to go backwards. He's first going to tell us over here what does it mean. What does it mean over here? What does it mean the word over here, chel koim? Is it one word or is it two words? Rashi here is going l'shita soy back from the previous pasuk where he learned the word there l'che l'cha as two words. Just like there, he learned it as two words. Chel. As really one word. Chel. Chel means chayil, and the chaf is not part of the root. Cha, your power. So Rashi learns that what we have over here on page 90 has nothing to do with what we learned on page 80, 88. Page 88, there was one word, and the word really is root and called chayil, and the chaf is just the subject. Your chayil. And according to Rashi, it meant over there, Hashem, your soldiers. Who is Hashem's army? The Tzivah is Hashem. It is Klal Yisrael. Here, Rashi is doing exactly the same thing. We have here two words. Chel is Miloshen Chayil, the army of the Koim. And what is the word Koim? So that's not so hard. The word Koim means, it's short for the Nid Koim. A Nidoch, a Nid Koim. That word we are familiar with, which means people that have been crushed. People who have been abused, have been stepped on, have suffered. That's what it means. Okay, they opened up the door. I have to close the door. They do this all the time. And today and tomorrow is going to be the worst day to do this. They keep the door open because the whole year is going to be dry. In 5 minutes, they can open up that door permanently and there's going to be a gush of cold air coming in. Okay. All right, back in business. That's another problem. Okay. Chel nishbar, the word koim, so the word koim means nishbarim. Nishbarim means to be broken. Now we spend time, let's try to go quickly. We see the Mesoris HaGedoyla, as we mentioned. We're going to one day learn that. Learn the difference between the Mesoris Gedoyla and the Mesoris Kitana. Two different books. And there it says over there, it's there, it says, what does it say there? Chel koim is a very important Rashi here, is one of 15 words in Tanakh which are spelled in the Torah as a single word, but pronounced as two words. As Rav Mordechai Beanstock said, Dr. Mordechai Beanstock, Re'isi b'misoris ha'gdilo, the word chel ko'im achas is one of a team. 15 people on this team. Achas mechamesh esrei tevos ha'kisuvos teva achas. It's written in the Torah as one word, v'nikrois shtei tevos. Kumo, Bayom bo God, in the pasuk vatomer leah, bo, pause, God. Good fortune has arrived. God means good fortune, like a mazal, bo mazal tov. Bo means it has arrived. There in the Torah, it's spelled bo God as one word. There is no space between the letter beis and the gimel and the dalet. But a bal kriya has to be careful to pause. Batoimer leah, ba, God. And if he does not do that, he has done an injustice to the listeners. Ba, God. In Parshas Hazinu or Vizoyes Abraham Mayevsky, correct me, I can never always mix up these two parashas. Hazinu, Eish, Dos, Hazinu, I think. Eish, Dos, Lomoy. So it's Zos Abraham. Eish, Dos, Lomo. It's not Eish, Dos. It's two words. It's spelled as one word, but it is pronounced as two words. Eish, and then the word Dos, Lomo. A fiery law. mal, it's ma lochem tidaku ani. What is it to you to crush my people? Yeshaya here is speaking to our enemies. Goig umogoig, maybe I'm making a mistake, it's another enemy. Enemy means, or speaking, maybe I'm sorry, he's heading to the false prophets. No, he's talking to the false prophets. He's speaking to the false prophets, and he's telling them, and the corrupt leaders, and he says to them, ma, comma, pause, lochem, what is it to you, tidakeu ami, to crush my people? Why do you take advantage of your power to bring suffering and corruption upon my people? Why do you do this? Avzeh, so Rashi gave us only 3 of the 15 examples. Avzeh, when it says in the pasuk over here on the top line of the text on page 90, it says chel koim. It's 2 words, and the first word is chel, is short for chayil, and in this context over here it says chayil, which nusach acher writes over here mamon, because as we said before, chayil mechol, you give me a hard time here, Baruch Hashem, that it's an army, and I kept on saying not necessarily, it means your valor, whatever gives you strength,
power.
So sometimes power is an army, sometimes power is money, sometimes power is your position, whatever it may be over here. But akesef ya'anes hakol, money conquers all. So money over here is the chayil shel nishborim, eishes chayil shel nishborim. Shall what? No, it means she got something over you.
She's the army.
Okay. Love can also, you know, a person likes someone, you'll do whatever they want. Mamon shel nish bodim. The word koim means the broken. Koim means the nish bodim. How do you know the word koim? Whoever told you that? The word koim. And, you know, in Aramaic, you have this. The Aramaic, you have this in the Gemara. The word koim, I think, in Aramaic means pain, suffering. People who are in a state of suffering. And here he just translates the word koim. It's a Hebrew word, lashon v'nich'ei levav le'moses. The heart is in pain to the degree where a person's about to die. So you see the word, it's a Hebrew, this is a pasuk, Leil in Tehillim, Koftes, it's a pasuk in Tehillim, it's a Hebrew word.
Probably related to
Makkah. You're saying means a Makkah, okay, interesting, okay. Pain means crushed, you're at the point of collapse. V'yim toimah, you'll say, hanun. You ask that, where is the nun? Where is the nun? V'yim toimah, hanun min ha-sheresh. V'yim toimah, hanun min ha-sheresh. Yochiach alav yan hach ois lev tzadik lomanu hanun shel nich'e kinun shel nimivza. The nun shel nikala and the nun shel nikala. I don't know this, what all this fancy grammar here is. Unfortunately, chaval. Maybe one day I'll. What? The nun disappears, it falls away.
Missing.
It happens.
Many times,
right?
It doesn't say you
pour. Right. The nun falls away. The payah payal. When the word is manipulated into one of the binyanim, in the particular instances, that's the way it goes. There are casualties. The nun has to take the hit. It goes away. So therefore, don't go and challenge me that to say the word koim means to be crushed, because that's nidke, because that would demand that there should be a nun, and there is no nun. That's not a question. Come on, that means you don't know the first thing about grammar, like me. And if you don't know anything about grammar, I'm very not proud of that. Chas v'shalom, very disappointed in that. But if when the nun, there are times when a letter falls away. And Rashi maintains his position. This is 2 words. Chel comes miloshon chayil, and the word koim comes from the word nichoim, nich'e levav, nichoim with a nun, which means to be crushed and to be defeated and to be in a state of pain. Okay, we're done. The chaim pisroinai. Now Rashi has to go back and explain. And after he explained the word chel koim, Rashi now needs to explain, well, what is the translation of the word ba'atsumov? Translate that word, okay? So we spent over here a whole day translating one word, but the one word, translating one word is not going to help us if we do not know the translation of the other word. What is the precise meaning of the word ba'atsumov? The chain pisroi no. So now we're going to interpret the expression with also translating the word ba'atsumov. The nofal ba'atsumov shel rosh hazeh. Now, what does it mean? So just see, he quotes over here the word. What does the word mean? It means, Bir mi zoysav uvik ri zoysav. Lashoin hagishu atsumo seichem. Oit same enough to close your eyes. Period. Chayil shel aniyim.
Yeah.
Oh, signal. Okay, very good. Signals. The remez, a remez, and the kiri zoysav. Like you wink. You wink, you make a body motion, you do mannerisms.
So he's sitting there looking like he's nobody, but
he's signaling. The Mitzvah Stav explained this. He's making a signal. You have a guy that's lying in the street, he makes believe that he's homeless, but really he's a spy. He's a very well-paid spy. He has more money for his services than all the people on the whole street put together. And he's lying there as a beggar. And he sees the prey, their victim, their intended target, walk down the street. So he picks up his head and he turns it in one direction. That is a signal to the lookout. Send in the troops. Send in the troops. So the word ba'atsumav, according to Rashi, is a very unusual word. And he proves it. He proves it very over here. It does not mean, I told you, means the mighty, which is going to be the second interpretation. But according to Rashi, in the first interpretation, it means in his winks. In his mannerisms which are being used here as signals to someone, to something, to proceed with the plan. So Rashi over here has done enormous, and he proves that the word atzumav does not mean mighty, it means a signal from another pasuk, hagishu atzumo sechem. I don't know that pasuk. That pasuk we once learned, it means bring close your signals. Oitzem enough, or present your signals, or oitzem enough is to wink with your eye. Oitzem means, you think it means to close your eye. It really means here, you're making, I think it's referring over here with the women, with the nashim. Hey, they're different. I think it says also by there were women that would incite, would entice men, young men. And they would walk in the street. I don't know if he's not quoting that pasuk, because that pasuk is in the beginning of Yeshaya. And they would wink with their eyes, yeah, with their eyes, in order to arouse some young boys to follow after them,
get
someone's attention. But they had a unique way of with their eyes doing something to make signals with their eyes in order to entice, the flutter with the eye to entice young men into their corner, and that would be the beginning of the end, because of the koyach of the Yetzirah. Oh, so that's the second shot.
Asum is strength.
Oh, that's the second shot. Right. Right.
So, strength.
Strength. So it's very interesting.
The cheating,
right. So that's the second interpretation. But why is Rashi here in this first interpretation telling us the word ba'atsumav mean you wink to wink with the signals? As the Mitzvah Stavit explained, you're sitting on the street and you're winking with your eyes as a signal to the people on top of the hill. Okay, the target has arrived, and now take action. Perhaps, I don't know if there's any correction, because it says ba, the patach. The patach over here is unusual. If it really means the mighty, it would say bi'atsumav. Ba'atsumav somehow is transforming the word that you would ordinarily think to mean the atzmaut, to mean the strength, the essence, to...
You can't have a double shva at the beginning of a word.
What?
You can't have a double shva at the beginning of a word.
Where's double shva?
Be'atsumav.
No, the ayin is not a shva. The ayin is not a shva. The ayin is a chataf patach.
You can't have a...
You can. You can. I believe you can.
Yes?
I think you can, yeah.
It's
I think you can.
Do, yeah.
I think you can. Be'atsumav. the chata patach is really a patach. It's just that you do it quickly. Aharoin. How do you say ah? Rabbi Yirmiyahu always speaks of the ah. The hey under the letter hey. Ah, the very ah ha roin. That's not really correct. Underneath the letter hey, there's a chataf patach. So how do you say aharoin? You say ah aharoin. It's hard for me to do. I can't do it. You basically have to say you have to spend more time on the aleph than on the hey. A chataf means to snatch. To snatch. The ikur letter is the patach. Ah. When you have two dots in front of the patach, it means don't dwell on it. Just get it over with very quickly. When you don't have two dots, it means dwell on it. There's a problem. Many people they don't dwell on it. They don't even do it at all. They just it's a chata patach, so it has the din of a shva, and they basically ignore it. They go aron, aron, aron. They make the hay into a shva, and the patach chata patach into a shva, ashva noch. And because the letter hay has almost no sound, so they basically omit the letter hay and they say aron, aron. So Rabbi Mayevsky, who lain before Rav Moshe Feinstein, was very makbid not to do that. Was very makbid. If you can't pronounce it correctly, better do it the other way. Better make the chataf patach into a regular patach than to make it into a shva. Because if you make it into a shva, then at times you can completely omit the letter. But if you make it into a patach, no, so you didn't say it correctly. You didn't say, you said it too slow. Aharon. It's not aharon. That's not right. It's aharon. You have to say the chataf patach a bit swifter, swiftly. But say it. Say it. Don't ignore it.
Ravar Khan, in the shul of the Kolei on the 18th, he always said that many occasions his Rebbe always used to call him Aroi.
Well, there's a slang, right? There's also a difference in speaking, you know, colloquially,
right,
versus Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah, right.
When you speak colloquially, so you say, you know, everyone has this is slang. We have Shkoyach. Shkoyach, Shkoyach, Shkoyach. What does it mean, Shkoyach? What does that mean? Yi Yasher Koy Chacho. Who's going to go through the effort to say Yi Yasher Koy Chacho? Okay, that's not going to go very well anywhere. Shkoyach, Shkoyach. Okay, there's a whole different slang in the way, but Kriyas HaTorah, and you know what's very interesting? You see this by the Israelis. The Israelis, so the Litvisha Israelis, they learn, so they teach them, when they teach them to learn, they're very good in the Kriyas HaTorah, they're very good in Kriya, much better than the Americans in Kriyas HaTorah and in davening. But when they learn like in America, like in yeshivish slang. They have like a yeshivish, the oys, they eat all the yuds in the oy, but when they daven, they're much, even the average Israeli, when he davens and he lanes mamish perfectly. But when they talk and learning, it's all very yeshivish. You think it's two different languages. Mamish, two different languages. We don't talk, that's our native language in America, to speak in Hebrew. So we have a hard enough time just knowing even one language. Forget about, you know, all the nuances between every single one. That's not for the average person. Any event, let's go weiter. So here we have a ba'at. I'm just suggesting. Yeah.
The word is tsumah. It should have been shva under the ayin, but you cannot. Like vechumah.
Okay. So you give it a little oomph.
That's why the shva became chataf patach. So that's the shva actually.
Okay.
You cannot have two shvaim in the beginning of the word.
Okay.
It's ba tsumah.
Okay. So you changed the chat of patach, turned into, forced the base to be a ba. A ba. Okay. Alright. But because it should be with a shak shua, eharon, but because the chat of patach made it from a e to an a. Okay. Okay, interesting. There's a relationship. Grammar is very complicated. There's a relationship that carries over from one letter to the next. any event, the word ba'atzumav over here, according to Rashi's first interpretation, is a very unusual interpretation. So whenever you read this mizmar, it means with the signals. Now, Rashi says, and then it's sort of different. What's the bottom line? The nafal ba'atzumav chel ko'im. It falls in the wink. Let's read it backwards. The chel, the money of the crushed people becomes stolen, robbed, just through a wink. The wink, it's a very profound interpretation. Rashi, the Mitzvah stuff, it could be Rashi saying something very different than the Mitzvah stuff. The Mitzvah stuff, if I'm not mistaken, maybe it was Radak explained, there's a system in place. There's a spy. There's someone lying in the street. He makes believe that he's a nobody. Rashi himself says, Yitke and Yeshoyach. He's a nobody. He's lying in the street, a homeless beggar, and he's waiting for someone, some rich man to pass by. And the moment he passes by, he winks. He gives a wink, and the lookout now knows down the block to attack. It's not necessarily what it means. I mean, put aside the word Yitke Yeshoyach, it means that the koyach of Rasha v'toivloi is so powerful in this world. The Rasha wins without even trying. Okay, there are certain times you see people that whatever they do, they matzliach. Without even trying, just wherever, you know, whatever they touch, they go to the stock market. Let's buy this stock. Without doing any research, without making any telephone calls, and they just pick a stock, and the next day they have $1 million in the bank account. Without even trying, there are people that they have this bracha. And the Rasha over here, this Mizmar is telling us that a Rasha, there's a principle in this world called Rasha v'toivloi, and when the Rasha wants something and the Tzaddik is in his way, the Rasha will crush the Tzaddik without even trying. That's how deep the principle of Rasha v'toivloi goes. So v'nofal ba'atzimav, with effortlessly, with just a wink, with just a drei, it falls into his hands, the money, the power of those people that he wants to crush, those that are crushed, referring to the tzaddikim. And it can, okay, that's not necessarily, okay, this may be more of a drush, but according to the simple interpretation, it means you put the words together. Yidke Yoshayach, this person, he lies in ambush, he makes believe he's a nobody, and then he gives out a signal to his partner. And then the partner attacks. Everyone who knows the joke, we always say there are two guys sitting in front of Macy's today, probably no one's there anywhere because it's too cold and because of all the problems in this world. Mm-hmm. Santa Claus is sitting standing next to a Hasidish guy, a guy who comes to shul over here, comes into the shuls with his papers. So this Santa Claus is collecting, has a pushka, and the Hasidish fellow of marriage soul with the tzetlach. As they're staying together, they're both collecting with the pushka. And everyone comes by and gives to Santa Claus. And no one's giving the Hasidish fellow in front of Macy's, in front of Saks. So a Yiddish person comes and he passes by and he sees what's going on. So he goes over to the Hasidish guy and he says, let me give you some business advice. You're not going to be matzliach here in front of Saks, in front of Macy's, standing next to Santa Claus this time of the year. People don't like people in New York, they don't admire us here. So he says, yeah, I hear. And then he says to Santa Claus, Beryl, you hear? He's trying to tell us how to do business. We're way ahead of you. I told this to Mayor. Mayor agreed with me. I went to the airport, this is not many years ago, when there was a lot of terrorist attack. And when it was Kennedy, went to Eretz Yisrael, we all lined up, and everyone, before you bring in your baggage onto the baggage control, everyone has to put their baggage to this massive machine. It's going to check, it's going to sniff it for bombs. It's going to check for bombs. This is like probably 15 years ago, who knows. So fine, I'm waiting online there with everyone else there. And I noticed this thing doesn't make any sense, because the only thing they put into the bag, into the machine, are the luggage. The handbags, they don't put into the machine. So it didn't make any sense to me. You can go and you can put your luggage into this big machine, and then it comes out, and then you have to take it with you and then walk all the way to the luggage, to a whole you have to walk all the way down to the counter. Who's stopping you after you take out your baggage from the big machine, take something out of your hand luggage, and now put it into your valise? It's like, this thing's making one bit of sense. Well, you're defeating the whole purpose, because you bring your valise to be checked, and it comes out of the machine, right? And you take it with you. They don't put any tags on, nothing. And then you go and you carry it with you. So Mayor told me, don't you understand? That's the whole purpose. That's the whole purpose of this machine. This whole machine there's nothing, it doesn't even work, this machine. The whole purpose of the machine is to catch people like me, who after you take it out of the machine, they're watching with all their cameras who's now taking from their hand luggage and putting something into the valise. That's what they're trying to chop the people who are trying to outsmart the system. This machine is just a facade to chop the people. Okay, there's a lot of cleverness that goes on in this world. And that's what the Rosh is doing. The Rosh over here is signaling. He's signaling to the lookout, chop him. That's ba'atzumav. His remizos and the kritzos are now, Rashi says, a nupshat. Omar Rabbi Simoin. Ein harosh. I'm sorry, he doesn't. Let's read the words. Omar, I'm over here. We're up to over here. It's Dovrach. It's up to nupshat. I'm now on in Rashi. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 lines from the bottom. The last word on the line. Dovor acher ba'atzimav al yidei giboyrov. Okay, this is what Rav Kalman said. What everyone says, everyone's first reaction is the word ba'atzimav means oitzem yodi, koichi vi oitzem yodi, also liyas achayel azeh, might, power, might. Ba'atzimav al yidei giboyrov, your might, your mighty men or your power. Omar, so here it's the dafa ba'atzimav chel koyim. So then it would mean that then Rav Chol said. Chel means an army. Chayil. Chayil is an army. And then we're dealing with gibor, we're dealing with war. It will fall ba'atzumav in the strength of the Rasha, the chel, the army of the ko'im, of the oppressed. The people who are oppressed, they have soul. They also have soldiers, they also have an army. But their army is in a nothing. Kineged, the might and power, the iron fist of the Rasha. Amar Rabbi Simoin, Ein Harosh Hazeh Metil Bakilirus Shaloi. What does that mean? He's the word Kilirus right over here is Chayil Elog. Now this is really what we got up to last week. We stopped because this is a very deep concept. This is a very deep concept of where Hakadosh Baruch Hu, there is Shavim. Yesterday's Daf Gemara spoke about. Selling a Sefer Torah, Gog, are you allowed to sell one, two daf on Shabbos? A Sefer Torah, no, it was yesterday also. What was it? Oh, but are you permitted to let a Kohen, who should get benching? A Kohen or a Talmud Chacham? Who should get the benching? So it depends, the Gemara says it depends. If the Kohen is an Am Ha'aretz, it's a Chilul Hashem to let the Kohen go first. The Talmud Chacham, is very, very severe. Kol misanai ohavu mavis. All those who hate me, kaviyachol, they love to die. Who does this refer to? It refers to people who allow others who are not Talmidei Chachamim to receive more honor. It causes an enormous chilul Hashem, where in society Talmidei Chachamim are not respected. It has to be a society where people appreciate, they look up to Talmidei Chachamim. I find it very beautiful. Every so often I go into elementary schools because they have different events. You know, they have the Cheder, they have an elementary school upstairs, and the Chaim Berlin, they go there often. And it's very interesting. Today, this was not true in my day. Tar Vidas, they have Gedolim pictures all over the place. You walk in, wherever you walk, you see Gedolim, the whole hallway every year. And, you know, when I was a kid, they didn't have this. I don't remember this. Never remember seeing any Gedolim pictures. I don't remember in MTJ, there was one big picture on the first floor. You come in, and it was a guy with a white beard. He looked just like a mayor. is wearing a big hat, pointing, Uncle Sam wants you. I remember that MTJ. I bet you it's still there. Okay? That was the only Gedolim picture I remember from MTJ. Today, you go into any yeshiva, you name it, doesn't matter where you go, Gedolim pictures. And that's a very nice thing. It's a very beautiful thing to instill upon children. Yati machshit, mamash yesterday's daf. Kol misanai ohavu maves. That there's a very intense obligation to give kavod to talmidei chachamim. Even a kohen gadol, the kohen gadol that goes lifnai v'lifnim, if he is an am ha'aretz, it is a chilul Hashem if he gets to lead the benching when there is at that meal a talmid chacham. And then the Gemara goes on to say, oh, but there was a certain Amoiro who was zoicha to arichas yomim because he never ever allowed he never benched first. He always gave the benching to the kohen. The Gemara says b'shavim. That's where the kohen was also an equal. He also was a talmud chacham. So we're going over here to this principle called equals. Equals. So here Rashi over here has been very very deep. So I think it's a very very deep Rashi. Obviously mine. He does not win. He does not succeed in his battles. Ella giboyrim kimoisai. This Russia only gemetil means to cast down. In other words, to succeed, to be victorious in his battles with his weapons and his strong men. You know this word over here? This is a very funny word. Bakilius.
Friday at home.
Wow, he does homework, look at that.
So I
mean, in the brackets he tells us it means over here. Gibiro Perish Chayil, next line. Ein Rosh Hashem Meitil Bakilirush Shaloi Perish Chayil, warriors, with his warriors, Ela Gibarim Kamoso, Ze Leuma Ze, Shenemar, Uli Guvrin, Gibore Chayil, Divichele, Omar Lichaposo, Lishad Rach, Meshach Vaaved Nigo. I don't know what that means in Daniel, but it means something along the lines that when they went to battle, they
commanded the mighty warriors who were in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego.
Say this one more time. The warriors, the Guvrin,
the mighty warriors in
his army, he said to them,
to bind,
okay, the Shadrach. So these are names of people. And but it's more Lashad Rach, Meshach Va'aved of Hananiah, Mishael, Va'azariah. Now Nigo is part of his name? Is Nigo part of his name? Is it part of his name, Nigo? Or his name was Aved?
No, it's a hyphenated name.
Aved Nigo, okay. So he's not explaining in detail, but it seems to say is that he only wanted to do battle against Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, who were the Giborim of the Jewish people. It's not a Mila, it's not a cover. You have to go back to ancient warfare to go and to conquer children and weaklings. No one's going to give you credit. You want to create a legacy of your Gevura. The legacy is you conquer, you go to battle against an equal. There's pride in war. It's not just, okay, we don't look at this. Today we don't, no one cares about pride. People just care the bottom line. How much money, what's in it for me? How much money do you have? But in ancient times, look at these documentaries, war, more than what you win is that you won. Okay, there is I won. What did you win? I won land. I won all this money. And now what? What are you going to do with it? I don't know. We'll go to great adventures. What are you going to do with all this? What are you going to do with it? What are you going to do? That's not what it was about. It was about winning. Gaiva. Winning. So there's no one's going to, you're not going to make the headlines if you go and you, oh, look, there's an anthill. and I stepped on it, and all the ants are dead. It's not going to make the headlines. But when you conquer a nation, you're going to make the headlines. Look at the gevura of this person, of what he did. It's not so much, again, what you won. It's the fact that you have, I don't have the good words, it's to win. It's not...
You're a winner.
To be a winner. You want to be a winner. Who cares what you won? It was like, you know like I used to watch the World Series. It's come after the Daf Yomi in October. And I was able to see the last inning or two of the World Series. It was the Yankees, where they had a winning streak. It was such intensity. It was unbelievable. At every pitch, that tension, it was unbelievable. The bottom of the ninth, those World Series games in New York, every pitch was more. And they won! They won! And they all jump up and down. And then what? Yeah. And now what? You won.
Well,
what did you win?
For them or for the fans?
For the fans, everyone. For the everyone. Okay, now what? What did you win? Mm-hmm. Then what? It's such a letdown. Mm-hmm. The whole Hana is to win. We won! And now what? There's nothing to take home. Go to sleep, get up tomorrow morning, go to Shacharis. The world goes on. There's nothing has changed. But the Hanah, those few moments of winning. In ancient times, that's what war was all about. In ancient times, that's what it was all about. And that's what Rashi here seems to be saying over here. Rashi over here is saying that this pasuk, it's...
Winning isn't everything.
It's the only thing. It's the only thing. I said about money. Money is not everything. It's the only thing. But Ella Giborim Kamo Kimoyso Shunamar. Therefore he's saying an entirely different idea over here. Rabbi Simon Ein Harosh Hazem Metil Bikilirushaloi Ella Giborim Kimoyso. Shenemar. So how is he reading that over here into the pasuk? V'nofal ba'at sumav chel koim. What does he say the word koim then means? According to this interpretation, it would appear that the word koim means the mighty. Okay? The word ba'at sumav means mighty, and the word koim. Okay, the word koim does mean mighty. I'm trying to put it in my mind in a place. The word koim, according to Rashi, it's what it seems to be saying. Where do we have the word b'chol? Could you have that word somewhere? The word ko'im in the context of the mighty?
Where do you see the word
ko'im? In the pasuk. V'nofal ba'atzumav, chel, the army, ko'im. So until now, we've said the word ko'im means the weak and feeble.
That's right.
The weak and feeble. Oh, but the word should have a nun. It should be nechei. Nechei nun chof aleph. No, the pea poyal, it has a tendency to disappear. That's what we've been saying until now. But there's another interpretation where the word ko'im means the powerful, the mighty, the arrogant. Okay, we have to find the word to prove this point. But that's Rashi here seems to be saying. He's taking the word ba'atsumav to mean the mighty of the wicked. And the mighty of the wicked... The wicked, who are very, very mighty, will conquer the army of the Ko'im of other mighty nations. That's the Koyach of a Rasha. The Rasha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, gives the Rasha success even when he's going up against equal mighty nations. I always tell you that we're brainwashed. We're in America, we're bored of watching cartoons. Watching these etched into our head, Hollywood, and Hollywood, it used to, not anymore probably, but it used to be that at the end of the day, the forces of good overpower the force of evil. Everyone he was brought up with Superman, Batman, this one and that one. And at the end, there's always these wicked, wicked people in the world, the villain, and then there is the hero, and the forces of good always prevail. That's mamish apikorsis. It's mamish apikorsis. The forces of evil are much, much more powerful than the force of good. Ilmolei HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizro, Eif Sholei. The Ferish HaChazal. The Yetzer Hara has a 13-year head start. The Yetzer Hara comes to a person, ki Yetzer Leif Adam Ra Min Udav. The Yetzer Tov first begins to perk up when a person is 13 years old. He has a 13-year advantage, head start, and there's no way you can ever overtake it. And Chazal say, the Pesach Atas Ravetz, there's no way the Yetzer Tov can overcome the Yetzer Hara with a 13-year head start. How then does it ever happen that the person is able to overcome the Yetzer Hara? Ilmole HaKadosh Baruch Hu Oizroi, if not for the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu comes to your rescue and helps you, E.F. Sharloi, you wouldn't have a chance. You wouldn't stand a day. So in the cartoons, it doesn't present it like that. All the cartoons, God is not part of the equation. You never saw Superman say, Lech Kinois Es Kol HaYehudim. I never remember an episode of Lech Kinois Kol HaYehudim. Okay, it's he wins.
Still.
Yeah.
Created by Jewish writers, he has the force of good in the world.
I know, that's what they say. The cape is his talus, and the S is the shin of the tefillin, v'roh kol ha'am ha'aretz. Subconsciously, the talus and the tilm crept into Superman. Who knows? Who's not to say that's not true? He was a what?
He was a German Jew.
Right. Okay. Let's not. This is not sure on Superman. Fine. Okay. But according to this interpretation, we have over here, is this principle of the wicked people. They will prevail, and their pride is prevailing against the mighty, against their match. Zeh le'uma zeh. They have a match. Their team up against the team, another mighty team, Klal Yisrael. But if Klal Yisrael does not get with the program, E.F. Sholoi. U'menachin pasar, chel ko'im k'modal.
Well, one second. So what's the pasuk in Daniel?
It's saying there that they tied up, that u'leguvrin gibor.
Let's see the words inside.
U'leguvrin gibor. The men who are warriors of his army that were his strength. Ulugur means the men. The mighty warriors of his army. The mighty warriors of his army, which were his strength, which were the power of Nebuchadnezzar. To them, Omar, Nebuchadnezzar instructed. He gave read it backwards. Nebuchadnezzar gave instructions to the warriors of his mighty army to go and tie up Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, to imprison them. Now, why is it necessary? Those are the code words. Those were the Babylonian names of Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. That's what it says in Daniel. They were given names. They were given secular names. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. So the question here is, why does the pasuk have to mention that Nebuchadnezzar told his mighty warriors, the warriors of his mighty army? Who cares about his mighty army and his warriors? He gave instructions. He signed an executive. He saw and he took a couple of pens and he sat down and he gave an executive order. Why do you have to do all that? So what's the answer? Because it's telling you a lesson. Is that Hananiah? There's something that's hidden here. Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah were extremely powerful. They were very, very mighty. They were mighty both spiritually, obviously, and they were mighty in the Gevura.
Physically,
they didn't have to eat. Men. Powerful people. And therefore, the pasuk has to mention is that the Nebuchadnezzar, he needed...
Remember, they were associates of Daniel, and already Daniel had demonstrated...
His koyach, his Gevura. So he needed to bring out the troops. He needed the most mighty soldiers of his army to imprison,
to subdue them.
Correct. So the fact that this is all being mentioned, I don't know all the details, it is showing that it was a battle. It was a battle of mighty people. It wasn't just a battle of a gibor against a chalosh, a weak person. It was a battle of power. All right, Menachem Pos, Menachem explained.
What is Nego?
That's not part of his name. That's part of his name. Va'aved Nego. So that's what this thing. That's Azaria, Hananya, Mishael, Va'azaria. That's the third person. Azaria. Now we go to the last part. The last part. Menachem Pos. And this goes back to what we learned last week. What does this word over here mean? Chal Koim Kemodal V'Chelech. This goes back to what we discussed last week. He is learning not like Rashi. Rashi is just explaining the two sides of the coin, the two different opinions. It's one word. There is no word here of army. There is no word, there's no chil. Everything that Rashi said in the entire Rashi, he was consistent in telling us that the letters ches lamid refer to an army or to power or money. There are two words. There's the chel, the army of the koim. Rashi learned all along the word koim means weak, the weak people. And then Rashi, in the second interpretation, seems to indicate the word koim means the mighty. And believe me, I keep that in my mind. Koim, I know that it sticks out to somewhere where the word koim is used in the context of power. Ramachol, does this sound familiar to you? No? Maybe I'm imagining. But Rashi over here in the second interpretation seems to be saying that. What is the common denominator according to everything that Rashi said until now? However you want to translate all these words, the word chel means power, might, money. And the word koim is a completely separate word. Menachem says no, who's called the medaktik. Menachem is the medaktik. And he says no, the word, it's not two words, it's one word. Chel koim. No space. And this word is, as the Ibn Ezra explained, has four letters in its root. Ches, Lamed, Chof, Aleph. And this word means weakling. Weakling. A weak person. There's no chel, there's no money here. It's just a description of a group of people. Menachem Posar, chel koim kemo dal. The whole word, its entirety, means a poor person. The chelech. Chelech is another term to mean a poor, weak, weakling. The achof yisoy b'teivod, the chof is part of the word. It's not like, he's really going back to what it said before. It doesn't mean your money. It's not, that was the previous pasuk. It's part of the root and it goes with the letter ches, lamed, chof. It's all part of one word. And therefore the pasuk just means it will fall, the mighty will conquer the weak. The mighty will conquer the weak people. Okay, that concludes this pasuk. Let's go to the next pasuk. Amar b'livay, shochach kel hister panav bal ro'o lenetzach. Okay, this is a very powerful pasuk. This is very scary stuff. This we're discussing Rasha v'toivla. The Rasha says in his heart, who's the one that did this? Who is the epitome of this? Haman Rasha. Vayomer Haman b'livay, l'miyachba itz hamelech lasos yikor yoyser mimeni. Gemara in Masechet Megillah Darshan's many, many words, believe by Vayomer, and I don't remember all the Pesukim, the Gemaras, but the word, whenever you have the term believe by, refers very often to Haman Rasha. Amar believe by, the Rasha says in his heart, Shachach Helak, the Shmuch has forgotten. Hister Panav, he has concealed his face. Baal Ra'ol LeNetzach. There are three major statements that David HaMelech is making. This is a course in psychology. What is going on in the mind of the Rasha? You ever see read these novels, you see these programs where the CIA, there's a terrorist or there's some shogun out there and they're sitting and they're analyzing how does the mind of this person work? The behavior analysis. If you know a person behaves, he's predictable. And then you can maneuver yourself to outsmart him. First thing is know thy enemy. Know your enemy. Know how his mind works. That's the key. The key is behavioral analysis. David HaMelech is giving us a course in behavioral analysis. A Rasha, at least in this pasuk, there are three patterns of behavior in a Rasha. Number one, he believes that Hashem forgot. He forgot what happened. Hashem does no recollection of what happened yesterday, the day before, a month ago, a year ago. That's number one. Number two, Hashem is not present. He's hiding. Hister panav. He's concealed. He's not paying attention to what's going on now. and he will never in the future. So basically, if you look at these words over here, it's super obvious. He denies the principle of Hoya Cholveh V'yihyeh. Is that not what it says here? Black and white? Hoya Cholveh, he forgot the past. Hister Panav, he's hiding his face, observing the present. Baal Ro'o Lo Netzach, he will never see forever in the future. Forever, Lo Netzach always usually means going forward. Usually, that's what it means, going forward. The Russia is in denial of the principle of Hoya Cholveh V'yihyeh. Hoya Cholveh V'yihyeh is the most basic principle in Judaism. The Shem Yud Kei Vav Kei, the only Shem Hashem that is Kula Kodesh, can never be used in any mundane form, represents the principle of Hoya Cholveh V'yihyeh, because Yud Kei Vav Kei is the composite of three words. It is the common letters. If you take the word Hoya, and take the word Hoveh, and take the word Yihyeh, and you put them on paper, and what is the common denominator of Hoya Hoveh V'yihyeh? Yud Kei Vav Kei. That's how you come to Yud Kei Vav Kei. Hoya Hoveh V'yihyeh. And Yihyeh. You get Yud Kei Vav Kei. Okay, we have to show you on a piece of paper, but that's the shame. Yud Kei Vav Kei has no meaning. All the other names of Hashem, the Shem Hashem Nimchakim, the seven names of Hashem, Shakai, Elohim, Tzevokois, Kel, what else did I leave out? Tzevokois, what? Aleph, Dalet, Nun, Yud. All of those words have translations. They mean something in English. You can translate them. And they can be used occasionally in secular contexts. But the Shem Yud, Kei, Vav, Kei can never be used anything other than in its sacred form. What does it mean? It has no translation. It has no meaning. It has no translation. It's just letters that are being put together. No, it's not so. Those three letters, they represent the concept of Hoya, Hoveh, V'yihyeh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, concept of time. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the concept of time. Okay, so the Rasha is in denial of Hashem. He says, Shochach Kel, Hashem forgot. Histir panav bal rola netzach, you'll never see in the future. Let's see if the pasuk get off in the mitzvah does it. The mitzvah says, Omar, kol zehu al ki choshev, o hakel shachach masav, o she'enoi mashkiach bohem. Now I told you a very nice drush, which the mitzvah does it obviously doesn't like. The mitzvah does it over here is giving you choices. This is very strange with the mitzvah does it over here. The truth of something over here is that the Rasha is not in denial. It's very interesting what he says. He's not in denial of all three. I told you he's in denial of all three together. The sum is greater than, what's the expression? The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The whole is greater than the sum of its parts. The Mitzudas David does not say that. It says it's one or the other. Either he forgot the past, or Hashem is hiding in the present, or Baal Rol and Etzach. He's saying the word, oh. Okay, that says Amar Kol Zehu Al Ki Choshev O Akel Shachach Maasav O She'ena Mashkiach Bohem. He's not paying attention now. Very interesting. Let's see what it says over here. It says over here in Rashi. Rashi Pasik. There is no Rashi on this Pasik. Would you believe that? Okay. Let's take a look over here. Let's go further. Okay. Let's do one more Pasik. Pasik Yud Beis Kuma Hashem. Hashem rise up. Hashem rise up. Nisa Yodecha. Lift up your hands. Al tishkach anovim. Here we go. Nachma, we have the same thing over here. Is this we had already this happens very often. This is already the third time we had this. We like to switch between the word anovim and aniyim. Rise up, Hashem. Kubashem kel nesoyedecha. Lift up your hand. Do not forget the humble. Now we have two different rising ups. We have a rising of Hashem, Kuma Hashem. We have a Kel, lift up your hand, and do not forget the Anovim. Now, let's see the Mitzvah. First, Pasuk Yibayz in the Mitzvah David, Kuma Lezekum, rise up, Baharim Yadcha, Allah, Lahakais, Yatish Haniyim. If you notice that the Mitzvah David appears to not have the Kri V'Chsif. Because he says, Ho'aniyim, He does not say the Anavim. Hanilkodim biyado. He does not mention over. He does not read it Anavim, but he rather his text. It says the Aniyim. That is interesting. If you look over here, let's see what it says over here in the Mincha Shai, page 91, the very, very bottom. Al tishkach Anoyim, Anoyim, or Aniyim, Anovim Kri. Okay, so obviously the Mitzvah stuff did not have this in addition. Rashi, there is no Rashi. Now I want to tell you a drush, and the drush is that these two psukma zel umazel. In Pasuk Yod Aleph, there is Hoya Hoyve Viyye. In Pasuk Yud Beis, there's again Hoya Hoyve Viyye. Now you can do it backwards. This is very common. You go forwards and then backwards. In the parallelisms of Nach, you know, he did some of this right early on. He once showed me a kuntras. He made a kuntras. Rav Kalman, do you know? Did you know Rabbi Dr. Orlean? Rabbi, well, you know Rabbi Orlean. Do you know Rabbi Dr. Mitchell Orlean? Orlean, you know. So he once showed me that he made a kuntras. He taught him YU grammar, and he made a kuntras of parallelisms, where psukim matched like a whole system. He told me that no, this no one has. He can't find this anywhere. Like certain rules, A, B, C. And then the next pasuk, it's B, C, A, a whole system. If you're fluent in Tanakh, you can see how there's a system where expressions parallel one to the other. Like example, this example. In pasuk Yud Aleph, there are three parts, A, B, C. Pasuk Yud Beis, I'm suggesting to you, is C, B, A. A, B, C, C, B, A. They match up. Pasuk Alfit says this, Hoya, Hoyve, Viyye. Omar, Belibo. Shochach Kel. A. So what's the A? Go to Pasuk Yud Beis, the very end. Al Tishkach Anovim. Okay, now go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph. B. Hister Panov. The present. What's the present? Niso Yodecho. Yodecho has a connotation of hashkocha protis, involvement now, the yad. Now go back to Pasuk Yud Aleph, C, Baal Ro'o Lo Netzach, the future that corresponds to the C of Kumo Hashem, plan to rise up in the future, Hashem in the future rise up, preparation. So I'm suggesting to you over here is that in Pasuk Yud Aleph and Yud Beis, we are discussing the essence of Hashem. Hoya, Hoyve, Viyye. Put them in a mathematical formula. A, B, C. Pasuk Yud Aleph is describing Hoya, Hoya. What?
It's
not mathematical.
It's not
just
a narrative, so there could be structure.
Structure, poetic structure. Poetic structure. So Pasuk Yud Aleph and Pasuk Yud Beis, they mirror each other. Pasuk Yud Aleph is A, B, C. Pasuk Yud Beis is C, B, A. Kineged David's plea, David's analysis. David is a psychologist, the ultimate psychologist, the person who understands the human condition, as they say out there in the world, the human condition. There's no one who understood the human condition greater than David HaMelech. And David is in his analysis of the Rasha, he says he got three problems. He's a denier of Hashem's existence in the past. Hashem forgot about the past. Hashem doesn't care what's going on in this world. And Hashem, in the future, will never get involved in this world. This world is out of control. Not even Hashem can come in and fix things up. So, Keneged ABC, David says, regarding, let's go reverse. The future, not so. Kuma Hashem. Hashem, enter, rise up, fix all the problems. Regarding the present, Niso Yodecha. The Yad is a word which connotes Vinitesi Yodi Al Eretz Mitzrayim. It means action. Action now in the present. And the last part of the pasuk, Al Tishkach Anovim, is Hashem, look at the abuse, the past. Don't forget, people have suffered justice. That corresponds to Omar Beliba is Shochach Kel. Okay, so I believe here we have a very beautiful structure in the Mizmor, ABC, CBA, all revolving around the Shem Hashem, Yudke, Vovke, Hoya, Hoive, Viyye. All right, so we don't have that much more to do. Tomorrow, Mir Tashem, we'll continue. Yud Gimel, Yud Dalet, It's a very good pasuk. Yitzayim is a very popular pasuk. Mir Hashem, we're going to move on.
One of the boys who was still...